As a young girl visiting Palestine to see my grandparents and extended family, I watched as my mother had to go through dehumanizing checkpoints. Even though she was a United States citizen and proud American, I was there when my city was in a terrible car accident, and my cousins and I cried so she could have access to the best hospitals, which were in Jerusalem. All I can do, as my city's granddaughter, as the granddaughter of a woman who lives in occupied territory, is to elevate her voice by exposing the truth the only way I know how. As my Detroit public schools teachers taught me, by humanizing the pain of oppression.
That's the voice of U.S. Democratic Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. She and fellow Muslim Democrat Ilhan Omar have been denied entry to Jerusalem and the Israeli-occupied West Bank because they support the so-called BDS boycott movement for Palestinian rights. But in what's been seen as an unprecedented intervention, the decision to block their entry came at the request of U.S. President Donald Trump. Bruce Wolpe is a senior fellow at the United States Studies Center. He's worked with the Democrats in Congress during President Barack Obama's first term, and he joins me now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you, Patricia. Good to be here.
Why is Trump's involvement in this decision unprecedented?
Unprecedented means it hasn't happened before, and it hasn't happened before, where a president of the United States makes a request of a foreign government to deny entry to two members of Congress who are duly elected and serve and have responsibilities under the Constitution of the United States, in which the Congress is a co-equal branch of the government with the executive, to find out how U.S. programs are working and form their judgments on them. They vote on every dollar that goes to Israel. They vote on the military assistance programs under which Israel and other nations buy weapons. So they have legitimate constitutional authority, and the president, through a tweet, denied it.
Doesn't Israel have the right to refuse entry to people who they believe may be acting against the national interest? After all, Israel believes the BDS movement is anti-Semitic.
As members of Congress, I believe they have. Let's go back a couple of weeks. The ambassador to Israel, Ron Dermer, this trip has been underway for some time, planning for it and so forth. It was always going to be confrontational, difficult, controversial, whatever you want to say. But Ambassador Dermer, 2 weeks ago, as the trip was progressing, said, out of respect for our alliance with the United States and the role of the United States House of Representatives, we will admit these two congresswomen. And that's where it stood. And then President Trump decided to play a very heavy political card to wedge Democrats on this issue and make these members and what they stand for the face of the Democratic Party, and saying to Israel by tweet, it is an act of weakness if you permit them in the country, and they should not be permitted in the country. And the government of Israel acquiesced in that.
Should they have not? Are you suggesting that Israel should not have agreed to this?
They should not have agreed to. I'm sorry. Israel should have admitted them just as they admit every other member of Congress. And as far as people who hold views on BDS or anything else, as far as entering a country, just as Australia has its rights as a sovereign nation to deny entry to people it deems undesirable. And what is undesirable, you can test that in the country, and there are courts and there's legislation and so forth. That's not the issue. The issue here is what the President of the United States did to two elected members of Congress, and the government of Israel acquiesced in it. That's the issue.
But on that issue of Israel determining that perhaps this is against the national interest, are you saying that because they're Congress people, they should have more rights than any other citizen?
I think so. Yes, indeed. And given the relationship between the two countries. Let me put it to you this way. The parallel situation would be in Saudi Arabia, the murder of Jamal Khashoggi at the highest echelon, at the authorization of the highest echelons of the Saudi government, and perhaps the crown prince himself. If a Democratic senator who's hostile to Saudi Arabia wanted to go to Saudi Arabia to examine the issues, and the president, by tweet, said to the government of Saudi Arabia, you shouldn't let this senator in, if that had happened and the Saudi government had acquiesced in it, it would be outrageous. And on the same basis, this is also outrageous given the special relationship between the United States and Israel, the alliance and the role that Congress plays on a bipartisan basis to cement that alliance. That's what was violated here.
So let's talk about the consequences from the decision. Do you think it's going to affect how Congress votes on foreign aid to Israel, potentially?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, there was a vote on the BDS issue on the floor of House of Representatives in late July, and it was condemned by 300-something to like 17, an overwhelming vote against BDS. So no, Democrats and Republicans will continue to make judgments and on the whole support assistance to Israel and the alliance with Israel. It will not affect that. But what President Trump is trying to do here is to divide the Democratic Party, set one group against another, but more importantly, paint a picture of the Democrats. And this is consistent with what he intends to do in the campaign. He's going to call all the Democrats socialists, and he's going to call all the Democrats, because they tolerate the presence of these women in the Democratic caucus, as un-American, anti-Israel, and anti-Jewish.
Will there be a flow-on effect in terms of relations between the U.S. and Israel?
These two leaders are in sync. And so, I can't imagine, even if Netanyahu does not win the next election, that the next government will be extremely friendly to Washington. President Trump is popular in Israel. And after President Trump, the relationship between whoever is president and the Congress will be good. But this is just really the most politically confrontational thing that's happened between the two countries and their responsibilities that hasn't happened before. And it really does pose a threat to the fabric of this very important alliance and what it does and how it operates. And I think I wrote my article because I wanted people to appreciate the consequences of going down this road. Israel is strongest when the United States is united behind it. It's weaker. And that goes with the United States' relationship with any country, Australia, the United Kingdom, Germany, whether to stay in NATO, where there's bipartisan consensus, coherent foreign policy. Where there's division, there's trouble.
The Israeli government actually relented last week and said Rashida Tlaib could visit her elderly grandmother, but on the condition that she didn't promote any boycotting of Israel. She said she couldn't accept those conditions. She's now called for other congressional colleagues to go to Israel to see Palestinians living their living yeah. conditions for themselves. What did you make of that?
I worked in the Congress for 10 years. I know a lot of members, and I worked on foreign trips with four members of Congress. I've been on foreign trips as a congressional staff aide. No one would accede, I don't care what country and so forth, no one would accede to an insistence by a foreign government, you come to my country, you can't speak about such things. There were a lot of members of Congress who went to Russia on behalf of Soviet Jewry. You remember that Russia did not let Jews out of the Soviet Union. And I work with members of Congress who went to Russia to confront Moscow officials and talk to them about it. This is exactly what these two congresswomen want to do. That's the give and take of politics, the give and take of issues. That's how morality in politics is ultimately resolved. So you do it. And that was denied her. So I certainly don't blame her for not acceding to that insistence by the Israeli government.
How about the reaction in the United States? Has there been a backlash in the U.S. against this decision?
I don't know. There hasn't been polling. I haven't seen polling on it. But on a bipartisan basis, Marco Rubio, conservative senator from Florida, said that this was a wrong decision. Other Republicans have spoken out. So I think because it is the institution of the Congress that has been offended here. And that is a concern, because once you go down that road of breaking norms of governance as to how the United States democracy should operate, that democracy is weaker. And the members of Congress who are going to be there long after President Trump is gone, they understand the consequences when this great democratic institution is trifled with in this way.
Bruce, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Patricia.
Bruce Wolpe is a senior fellow at the United States Studies Center. He's worked with the Democrats in Congress during President Barack Obama's first term and was a chief of staff to former Prime Minister Julia Gillard. He's written an analysis of the decision for the United States Studies Center. This is RN Drive.